going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're having the same arguments that you are having down here at the stadium, guys. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You answer me. It is Dukes and Bell. Garrett is producing today. He's here. Day-Day's off. And he's talking to Mike and I, and we're talking about Mike Hill. And we're going back and forth, and Garrett's like, right. He's just bigger. He's bigger than Green. He's bigger than these other guys.
Right.
And we're having the same arguments that you guys are having when it comes to, all right, which way are they going to go? We're talking about the draft. Tonight is the first round, guys. And we've got you covered here all day long, all evening long. After Mike and I get done, Mike Conti, Wes, and Dave are going to have you covered for the draft live right here from Mercedes-Benz Stadium as they take you through the first round. But, Mike, you know, the thing is, Garrett has me convinced. Now I'm leaning back this way. I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe Garrett's right. Maybe Mike Hill is the pick because he has such conviction about what he thinks Mike Hill is going to be.
Right. But the hay's never in the barn.
Yes, it is. If the Falcons do, then maybe they take it.
Well, we spent like the entire like month of March talking about like, – I did that whole the numbers about all the Falcons picks and all the Georgia Bulldogs they've passed on over the years. I mean, going all the way back to Vince Dooley's dogs. I mean, you think it's not just like, you know, the last couple of years where the Eagles made it so in vogue. But, I mean, you'd think that like even in the history of the franchise, you know, when Vince Dooley was going to back-to-back-to-back championship games at the Sugar Bowl, those guys would make their way to the Falcons. And even then they didn't. So it's bananas. On my final pick to click at 15, I got this at Mike Belly. ATL. Got a picture of Mykel Williams and everything we talked about.
Yeah.
And so basically I've given you three guys the last 3 days. And you guys can look at them. But, I mean, it's funny because we talked about Mike Green.
Is this your latest mock draft?
And this is it. What I want. Okay. Basically my wish list.
I got you.
Because I talked about Donovan Ezeraku because he does check all of the boxes.
Yes.
But then again, everything we've argued about this month, and you just heard it in that interview from Andy Randy, that everybody that Kirby produces, specifically in the defensive side, a lot of Georgia offensive linemen have been, you know, okay. But Kirby's defenders come in, and again, it's hard to quantify what they do at Georgia for what they're asked to do in the system they play in. So you put them in the NFL, and they pop. You know, and we talked about it. You know, Trayvon Walker at Jacksonville is a prime example. You look at Jalen Carter. You look at everybody who's going to the Eagles. Now, some guys like N'Kobe Dean had to wait a while to get out there. But, I mean, to me, I'm going to say his size and athleticism override concerns about the ankle. The ankle's still an issue. But this is one of those times where I just don't want it to be we've passed on another dog and this guy becomes a rock star for somebody else. And then all the fans are literally going, you got to be kidding me. Now, here's the one caveat to this, Carl. Can we trade down and get it? Because that would be the ultimate.
It would be.
Because on a lot of boards, he's not valued at 15.
Getting your cake and eating it too, right? That's what you're talking about. Garrett just held up a note. He's 20 years old, Dukes.
Yeah, so is Kyle Pitts.
He's young. I get it, but the point is the growth. If you're looking at what he is now, what is he in 4 years in the NFL?
Right.
Right? What is he in year five in the NFL?
And he's bigger than Green. He's bigger than Ezeraku by a long shot.
Yes. And so, you know, Garrett, I hear you, man. Listen, I think when you talk about Mykel Williams, and we've asked everybody, you're going to hear more of our analysts talk about it throughout the course of the show, but they all like him. There are reservations, though, and part of it is, again, the ankle, to Mike's point, this guy hasn't worked out pretty much all offseason
right.
the way we thought he might for anybody. So, yeah, he's conducting the interviews. And, guys, he's going to interview well. He's a dog. Let's be honest. Like, these right. guys are prepared. He's ready. He's not going to blow that. But if you say, all right, well, did he run the 40? What about these quick twitch drills that we are concerned about, the cone drills and all the stuff, that the get-off? And does that concern you when you haven't seen it? And then a lot of people say, well, just turn on the tape. Well, wait a minute, Mike. It's limited tape.
Right.
So,
well, how about, what, you got all these Texas linemen are all top,
eight them up.
The top 15 or top whatever you have, you're going to qualify the top offensive linemen. They're in all the top 10s. He ate them up. You're right. In Austin and in Atlanta. So, I mean, if you look at that and you say, okay, when he was finally able to be 100%. And the other aspect of this, how about in a world of quiet quitting, here's a guy that played through an injury the whole season.
You're right. And by the way, I think that goes a long way. I do. I think these teams are like, he didn't have to go out there. Kid knew he was going in the draft. He could have shut it down and easily been like, I'll see you guys in the spring. He decided to come back. I think that goes a long way. Point is, we're having the same arguments you guys are. It's draft day, and it wouldn't be draft day if we weren't. Hey, coming up, we're going to hear from Greg Cosell, one of the best evaluators in the NFL, and his breakdowns on all of these guys in less than 10 minutes. Right now, let's get to 4th and 1. Wow. And by the way, I had a guy hit me up. Then why is Jalen rated higher than him? Jalen Walker is more versatile.
Yeah.
That is why.
Right.
That is why on most boards he's higher than Mike Hill. Doesn't mean he's better. It just means that teams see him and using him in various ways much more than you could possibly do with Mike Hill.
We talked about it for guys. We do expect you to listen every day. But if you miss some of the show, I mean, I'm also cool with defensive tackle. You know?
No doubt.
And you've mentioned Walter Nolan a couple times from Mississippi, Ole Miss. I mean, like Mason Graham is probably not going to be there, but there are some big dudes, and tackle is something we definitely need. Kevin Grant from Michigan is a beast, and he comes ready to go, and he's got the, if you're looking for a championship pedigree, he brings it.
I agree.
And, you know, we said no disrespect to Taquan Graham, but we got these same dudes, Kentavious Street, that were part of one of the worst run and pass defenses in the league.
Yeah, we need to be better at stopping the run. We need more beef. Let's just be honest. We need more beef up there, but we also need athletic guys that can push.
Right.
Push the pocket.
And they rotate with Rook. Rook. It's not just one guy. Rook's not playing every game, every down.
So, look, if we went edge, tackle, tackle, edge with our first two picks, I am delighted, because I think you've addressed two major needs with what you already have coming back.
Right. Oh, by the way, if you don't go corner by the time we pick in the second round, you're not going to get a starter.
No.
That's the problem. I mean, based on all the metrics, sorry, I apologize. I've used that phrase like, you know, it's Mel Kiper now, but yeah, it's just of all the things that I've looked at, and you guys see the same stuff on NFL Network. All the really good corners are gobbled up by the 50th pick.
Yeah, but Mike, remember though, are these guys going to fall? I mean, Will Johnson's rated the top 20, one of the top 20 guys in the draft. When I said he's slipping, and a guy hit me up, and he was like, "Oh, you think he's going to fall the second day two or day three?" No. But you just don't know. I mean, if Will Johnson, who is considered to be, again, a top 20 pick in this draft, and there are concerns about his injury and he's not a burner, Mike, he could be a late first rounder. Then you get into day two and maybe he's an early second round pick. Guess how much value teams are getting for that versus taking him at 18 or you know, potentially even earlier than that. So I don't know. I'm with you with that. I think if you're talking about those top three guys, they're definitely gone.
Right. There's guys like, his name is Siobhan Revelle, talked about him from ECU. He's coming off an injury.
Yep.
But that's where you get into these guys. You're like, I mean, dude, guys with ACLs, that's what scares me. Will Johnson, you talked about the concerns over Michael Williams. Will Johnson in Michigan hasn't been able to do anything.
No, he's the same. He's in the same boat.
Right.
Johnson, Jade out of Texas, and then you're talking about, you know, Mad Max is his nickname.
Right. Max Hairston, yeah.
Maxwell Hairston, yes. Those are the three guys, I think. And Hairston, by the way, there's some guys rated in front of him. I'm telling you, when you run 4.3, basically a 4.29, teams are going to take a chance on him with his cover skills and recovery speed. All right, man, let's talk about Tyler Lockett. Mike signs a one-year deal with the Titans. We think, obviously, Cam Ward's going there. But that's a nice pickup for them. And remember, who else is in Tennessee right now? A guy named Calvin. He used to play for the Falcons.
Oh, Calvin Ridley.
Yeah. Yeah. He had 1,000 yards there, though.
Quietly. But the year that Roddy had, I always thought Roddy had 1,000 yards with three bums thrown to him in 07 when Mike was in the Hooskow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, hopefully Ridley gets things cooking. But that Tennessee team, I'm so uncompelled now. I watch Cam Ward all season because I was jealous because Florida State got outbid for him. We got stuck with DJ Ukulele. But, I mean, if you look at Cam Ward, man, the guy, it was funny because
Do you think he's that good?
I mean, this gets back to he only had 7 interceptions on the season. Sometimes he'd be a little aggressive.
Okay.
But he's a gunslinger, man.
He is.
I mean, he lets it rip, and he brought them back in some hellacious comebacks where they blew big leads and the Canes were basically falling apart. And he was the one guy that was making it happen.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to say that he's not good. He's good. I just don't know if he's elite level, put the team on his back. First year they're in the playoffs. He's going to be in a weak division.
But you're right. The argument that these guys, that he's only the 6th or 7th best passer last year, but this year he gets shoehorned into number one because Tennessee has no one to trade down to.
Correct.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't. Meanwhile, we got to mention this man. Steve McMichael passed away yesterday.
Mongo.
67 years old. Battle with ALS. Mm. I got to tell you, man, to see him at the end, Mike, and if you didn't see Steve McMichael in his prime, man, that disease is something else.
Man, it breaks your heart because I saw some of the interviews on NFL Network with Jim McMahon, and Walter Payton's son was there at the end visiting with him. Jared Payton. See a guy that was so big, so full of life, that embodied that Buddy Ryan, you know that defense that won the championship in 85.
He was crazy, right?
Right. I mean, just that's Mongo. And for those who don't remember Blazing Saddles, he's named after Alex Karras, another great defensive lineman. His character in the movie, Mongo just pawned in Game of Life when he punches the horse. But, yeah, man, and just a bigger, larger-than-life character. And to see the E60 on it, I defy you not to cry watching that.
You're right.
Seeing guys like Richard Dent, everybody else just kind of losing it.
Yeah, he gets into the hall, and all his teammates are there surrounding his bedside. But rest in peace, Steve McMichael, passing away at 67 years old. Hey, the Lions signed Kirby Joseph. This came yesterday, 4 years, $86 million extension. He's now the highest-paid safety in the NFL. It's 21 and a half per. The crazy thing is we signed Jesse Bates at the time. He was the highest-paid safety in the league. Boy, has he paid dividends, though, Mike.
Now, let's hope, and I know he's not going to do this on being a wise ass. Not like Jesse's going to go, hey, man, time to renegotiate my deal. Where is Julio?
Yeah,
just to remind some folks. See, that's what happened.
It did.
So, you know, I know that you don't think safety's important. You know, the guy just won almost every game we've won the last 2 years. It's thanks to him.
Single-handedly, right?
Literally. But, I mean, there's a guy that – see, some wide receivers and some corners, hello, Jalen Ramsey, hello. You know, take your pick. You know, Tariq Hill, all these guys. You know, somebody gets the next year, the contract makes – you know, it resets the market and they get in their bag. I don't think Jesse's that kind of guy. He's a leader. He's a dude.
No, I don't think so.
Now, if I was Jesse's agent, I go, hey, let's turn the envelope. But this is why.
Yeah.
This is what screws you up in the cap.
No, it does. I don't think he's that dude either. But you're right. Literally, we'd be here at the stadium and be like, man, we sure do need a fumble. We need a turnover. Yeah. Jesse Bates punches it out.
He's that dude.
He is that guy. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're going to come back. Greg Cosell had a lot to say about all these guys we're talking about. We're going to let you hear it. He breaks down Jalen Walker and Michael Williams and Shamar Stewart. It's coming up as we get ready for the first night of the draft here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We are live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium getting ready for the members draft party tonight down here. First round of the NFL draft. They're showing, not us, but they're like, you know, rolling through some stuff that you'll see if you're coming down here, if you're a season ticket holder and a member. But they're rolling through some tape, Mike, and I just saw a couple of catches from Drake London. I'm like, man, he's a dog. Drake London is a dog. I need more dogs on this team, Mike.
What was that, the line from the Coastal Carolina coach?
I don't want
He's
no
like
cats.
A cat. Meow. Yeah.
I need some
dogs.
But it seems like he's just going up over the top of guys. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, he makes the plays. The thing is, and that's why we get into that old Kyle. Let's have a day without having a Kyle Pitts discussion, but he kind of is in the middle of the field where Kyle Pitts maybe should be. That's my only beef. I'm not complaining, but the way they use him in the route tree and the way the routes develop, and it's kind of very Ram-like because obviously Zach Robinson's come from the Rams offense. But, man, it's electric what this guy's done. And he'd be Carl, he would have had 1,000 yards the first season if he never watched a stiff strong to him.
Easy.
Be a dog.
I need more dogs. I'm just telling you, man. All right. Hopefully we get a dog in this draft. Let's hear what our buddy Greg Cosell covered and has covered the NFL 30-plus years, guys. He's one of the best when it comes to analyzing players, looking at players, projecting. And he did a breakdown pretty much of every player that we've been talking about, especially coming off the edge and on the defensive side. Let's hear what he says about Mike Green out of Marshall.
I like Mike Green. I like Mike Green a lot. In fact, obviously the issue that would be discussed in draft meetings is level of competition. They did play Ohio State. He played very, very well. I think Green, of all the edge rushers in this draft class, Nick Scowerton would fit in that role as well, has the most tools in his toolbox. You know, one of the things you notice with a lot of college edge rushers who are very athletic is they don't really have a lot of tools in their toolbox. They don't really have a pass rush arsenal. They just rely on athleticism. And you can't just rely on athleticism in the NFL.
Michael,
you're not just going to run by offensive tackles in the NFL. So I thought Green had a pretty diversified pass rush repertoire. I think watching him through a game, you see that he has a plan of how to attack offensive tackles. The number one thing, and I've learned this from speaking to offensive tackles, the number one thing that you have to be able to do is you have to have a power game. If you don't have a power game, it's really hard to be a consistently good pass rusher. And he's got that short stroke power game, and it kind of starts there. He's able to do that.
That is Greg Cosell talking about Mike Green. When you talk about, and I said this to Mike the other day, Nick Scorton is the best A&M pass rusher in this draft. There are two other Shamars, Turner and
right.
Shamar Stewart. Stewart's been getting a lot of love because of how he exploded at the combine. But Nick Scorton, who he mentions, hands down, one of the best pass rushers in this draft. But it's certainly not a guy that would end up you taking, you know, as early
right.
as 15. Let's hear what Greg Cosell had to say about Jalen Walker.
Yeah, Walker's a fascinating guy, Randy, because – you know, look, you play in the league, so the first day you line up, you know, you go to, I guess is it OTAs now? Is that the first thing that they call
it? It was quarterback school then.
Right, right. But then when they bring in, you know, the rookies and they do all that stuff and they're in shorts and a T-shirt, where does Jalen Walker line up? Where are you putting him? And I think that becomes team and scheme specific. He's a really good pass rusher. He's a sudden, twitchy athlete. I think what he does best is rush the quarterback. But he's not a 4-3 D end. He's only 6'1", 243. He's not long enough to be a 4-3 D end. And I mean, unless he's an exception. I mean, that's the thing. You have to decide that. You know, you can go back in history and look at someone like Robert Mathis, who was 240 pounds. If you play a 5-2 front or a 3-4 front, I tend to call it a 5-2 these days. He certainly can be an outside backer line. You can line him up there. But in a 4-3 front, a true 4-3 front, he's a stacked backer. But what he does best is rush the quarterback. So I'll be real interested to see who drafts him and where they put him.
It's a great point by Greg. Mike, I've said this all along about Jalen. Tremendous player. I just don't know how you use him. And when we talk about versatility, versatility is great. If you have studs all around the field and next to this guy, see, you could go to the Eagles defense potentially, and I'm just saying, and use him however you want because you're not asking him to do a specific thing. If he wanted him to come off the edge and just rush the passer, great. You want him to play stack backer, as Greg is talking about, getting some protection from one of those big guys up front and just roaming around, that's terrific. But for us, we need him to play a specific role, and that's my concern when we say, well, why not Jalen Walker? Look, if he's there, I've told you, you got to take him.
No, I mean, he'd be one of the best players. First off, he comes in. You think about right now some of these dogs, you know, where do they rank? Will they be like the second or third best player on the defense right now? I mean, think about where we are. I mean, you don't have that kind of athleticism on our defense. You just don't. You know what I mean? They fell in love with Troy Anderson. He can't stay healthy. I'm not going to go through the litany of guys who just haven't performed. But you believe in Rook and the upside of his, you know, what he can do physically. You know, Jesse Bates, we talked about earlier. There's not a lot of playmakers on this defense. That's what you're looking for.
No doubt. We're talking about Greg Cosell, his breakdowns of some of the players that will be drafted tonight. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. More of these breakdowns coming up throughout the course of the show. But I want you to hear what he had to say about Shamar Stewart. Mike and I have discussed this young man a lot.
I love him on FBI.
No. That's a different Stewart.
What?
No, this is the brother from Texas
A&M.
Oh,
my bad.
Greg Cosell. Yes. What does he think about Shamar Stewart?
He's exactly what I was talking about, Andy. He's a guy, he's a freak. He's a freakish athlete. And that jumps off the film. But he's a guy at this moment in time that doesn't know how to rush the quarterback. He basically just lines up and runs into the offensive tackle. And now every once in a while, because he's strong and he's powerful, and when he has a runway, when he's a wide nine and has a runway and he can generate velocity, he can win. But he's a guy that you have to teach how to rush the quarterback. But he's a superior athlete. He's a freakish athlete. But, you know, again, that could be a little bit of a process. I mean, you know, just like with quarterbacks now, there's guys that just teach, you know, how to rush the quarterback. I know Chuck Smith did it for years, but now he's with the Baltimore Ravens as a coach. So, and you guys probably know him well because I believe he was down in Atlanta. So, you know, there's guys who teach that now. There's sort of pass rush schools. He needs to be taught how to rush the quarterback.
See, that's a bit of a turnoff. It's funny, Garrett Chapman is producing for us, Carl. And remember the cartoon Wreck-It Ralph?
Yeah.
I always think of him as Fix-It Felix.
Okay.
He's just an endless happy supply of energy positive energy. But he was saying, you know, looking at the draft, just like what Greg Cosell said, everybody coming off the edge, it's a but. You know, this guy, but. Other than maybe Abdul Carter, but there's an injury concern you're going to have to deal with in the initial days. But there's some sort of a caveat or a buyer beware that comes with almost everybody we're talking about.
There really is. And I think it's a great analogy of what he sees with Stewart. Let me hear about James Pierce, big kid out of Tennessee. Guys, we're going through the list.
7.5 sacks.
Right.
Now, we were joking around because this is just purely conjecture on our part. Was he a Tennessee player that maybe said, yo, man, this Ohio State game ain't on my contract? We don't know. That's what happened, obviously, with Iamaleava. But either way, he's a guy that, for some reason, some of the work ethic cropped up with some of the analysis that I saw.
Here's Cosell talking about what he thinks about James Pierce in the breakdown.
Yeah, this guy's a high-level athlete. I mean, he's sudden, he's twitchy, he's long, he's over 6'5", he's 245. So, you know, when I saw him at the combine, I mean, he's got a really thin waist. I mean, he looks great. I think the power element to his game remains a work in progress. And I think that's where he needs to improve. But there's no question you're dealing with a guy that is just a naturally quick, explosive, sudden athlete. And that shows up. So, you know, again, I don't know anything about – I don't deal with, obviously, the off-the-field stuff. I just sit in my office, Randy, as you know, and I just watch tape. So, you know, I mean, I hear stuff, but I don't talk about it because I don't know. And I try not to talk about things I don't know about. So, you know, maybe that'll mean he'll drop. Who knows? But there's no question that the suddenness, the length, you know, he's got his wingspan was 81 inches, which is pretty long. He ran really well. He's a really, really good athlete, and he's 6'5". And, you know, that's really good length for an edge pass rusher.
The guys, we talk about this, getting guys off of you, being able to create distance.
So he's at 81 inches?
Yeah, that's
like
long.
It's like a pterodactyl.
He's long, man. He's long.
Man.
Hey, Mike, you've been talking about Donovan Ezeroku. This is the kid out of Boston College. I just want you to hear this last breakdown. These are some of the guys we'll be talking about tonight, guys. And by the way, James Pierce does not have a first-round grade on him for most people that I've spoken to. He's going to get picked, but if it is late in the first round, okay. But he's not a guy that's going to be taken early in this draft because these edge rushers that are ahead of him, including a guy like Shamar Stewart, because of his athleticism, he may go, you know, be the fourth or fifth edge rusher taken. Here is the breakdown of Ezeroku.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy. Now, he's got really long arms for his height. He's only a little over 6'2", but he's got 34.5-inch arms. And it's funny, in my conversations with coaches, this arm length thing for both offensive tackles and pass rushers has become a really big deal. And he knew how to use his arm length. He had some short-stroke power. He had quick, forceful strikes. I mean, he really struck people. And that keeps your legs clean, so it could maximize his quickness. He's a really interesting guy. I mean, and he had some bend and flexibility to him, some balance and body control. One of the things he did that you have to be able to do as an edge pass rusher is when you get to the top of the pass rush arc, if you want to win on the high side, you've got to be able to flatten your rush path when you clear that arc. Some guys can't do that, and they just get pushed past the quarterback. The guys that can flatten their rush path, they can get to the quarterback, and he was able to do that. So we'll see. I think he'll probably begin his career as a sub-defense edge pass rusher. You can move him around. You know, we call it the Joker position, where guys sort of stand up inside, both on the ball and off the ball. I think you can do that with him as well. I found him to be a fascinating guy.
We talked about him yesterday, and, you know, this is a dude, if you want to look at last year's season, remember Matthew Judon, he was always easy to find with those red long sleeves.
Yes.
In addition to rarely getting to the quarterback, he would never set the edge. This is a guy that had 16 and a half sacks and also had 80 tackles, and he sets the edge. So, in other words, the running back's not getting outside of the hash marks on this guy. And I know he makes him sound situational. I know that's really maybe light your fire for Falcon fans looking for instant impact.
But he can play, man.
The dude's a dude.
He can play. Great stuff. The full interview, by the way, with our boys Andy and Randy online at Odyssey.com if you want to hear it. Hey, coming up, our interview with Ross Tucker as he helps us break down some of the guys we're looking at. It's draft night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike and I literally continue to scroll through the potential candidates that the Falcons could draft tonight.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, there is, man. We're going to let you hear from Ross Tucker coming up here in just a few minutes. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium again. Members draft party down here. We've done this the last few years. It's a lot of fun. And bottom line is, man, I think just most Falcon fans, is the stuff that we're getting on social media, follow Mike. Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up, C. Dukes. At the end of the day, we just want them to get it right. And a part of this is, I think, for most Falcon fans, that's a defensive player. Mike's right now. Look, I've been poo-pooing this whole, you know, offensive line, whatever, offensive player thing. But you can't just totally dismiss it because half the draft is offense and the other half is defense. So, you know, if you're telling me that the Falcons, and this is what Terry Fontenot said, and more on him coming up later in the show, but he said, Mike, you know, you can't get so caught up in the need that you start reaching for guys,
right?
Okay? Well, I don't think that's going to be the case based if we stay at 15. Now, if we end up doing something you want us to do to acquire more picks and move, then maybe you're right. I can't reach and go just because we need an edge or we need a defensive lineman. But I hear what he's saying there.
And this goes back to, you know, the argument that there's a lot of worker bees. There's only two or three guys, at least right now, and that only time will tell. I get it. But right now, if you feel up – see, I'm not even sold on Abdul Carter the way some people are.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But everybody talks about him like he's a can't-miss guy. Okay. Mm. But if you feel he's that can't-miss, then move heaven and earth and get up there. And if you're Terry – F those picks, like the Rams say. You might not be here anywhere to use them next year if you don't get to the playoffs.
No doubt. Ross Tucker stopped by the show, guys. We asked him what were his thoughts on trading back. Here's what he told us.
I mean, a couple things on the Falcons, just because I knew we were talking. I love the idea, depending on who's there in the first round. Man, I would love if they could pick up, if they could move down and pick up some extra picks. Because they're not going to get Abdul Carter or Mason Graham. And they're... You know, some of the defense, and I don't even think they'll get Mykal Williams, right? I would love to see them double up on the D-line, one edge guy, one interior guy. This is the draft to do it, and I think the Falcons could slide down, you know, into the 20s and pick up some more picks and still be able to double dip. The concern is, or the question is, who wants to move up, and who do you want to move up for? So they might kind of get their pick of the next tier or the next group of those guys that aren't the guys that I just named. As for the offensive line, it's interesting because there's a little bit of a flaw with every guy, right? So Will Campbell, not quite as long as you would like him to be. That doesn't bother me that much, but there are people that does cause concern. Armand Membu from Missouri, he reminds me a lot of a former teammate of mine in Jason Peters. I mean, their body type, what they look like on the field, how they play, eerily similar to me, like 6'4", 330-something. got some nasty to him, longer arms, raw. I mean, I remember, you know, Peters came out of Arkansas. He was on the practice squad, guys, for the Buffalo Bills in 2004 when I was starting. That should be like on my gravestone. Think about that. I mean, a first ballot Hall of Famer was on practice squad, and they had me starting. That's bad coaching right there. But in all sincerity, and then even like Kelvin Banks, who has the ideal length that you're looking for and is maybe a little bit more polished than Membu, there's just something – he doesn't have the consistency that you would want. Banks should be, based on his experience and physical traits, he should be the number one guy off the board, but he's not going to be. And I think part of that's because he just hasn't put it all together for whatever reason.
Right. It's a Ross Tucker, by the way, Carl, all Ivy League in 2000 here on the WaitFor.com hotline.
Pretty damn good.
The thing that Carl and I have been debating a lot with our experts, Ross, is the Travis Hunter phenomenon. And if he just goes, if it's chalk and he just goes to Cleveland, the imaginative nature of a coaching staff to, yes, I will let him play both sides. I obviously, he's going to not play, you know, 100 plays a game. But what about the idea? Is he a wide receiver first or corner first in your mind?
Well, honestly, we could debate this for hours. It's fascinating. I called the Colorado State game last year. You know, he might be the best college football player I've ever seen in my entire life. I went to a practice at Boulder, then watching that game. I don't think people realize, you guys know this because you're in the heart of college football country, a lot of these teams run, you know, up-tempo, right? So it's like 160 snaps a game. You know, in NFL, it's like 120. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference. And so for him to be out there for that many snaps, and I've talked to people that graded just Travis Hunter the corner and just Travis Hunter the receiver, and they were both top five players. You know, I've had people confirm to me he is the number one corner in the draft. He is the number one wide receiver in the draft. This is bananas. However, it does seem like, Mike, that there's more of – people think he's readier to be a more dominant player on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
That's problematic because it's much easier to have a guy go to all the defensive meetings because communication in the secondary is critically important. You can't just throw a guy out there, a corner, and him not, you know what coverage it is, know, you know, all the intricacies of the defense when they're man or zone. So three distinct thoughts here, right? Number one, the easiest thing to do if he's going to play both ways would be to be a full-time corner, part-time package receiver. Okay, but that doesn't seem to be where they think he could have the most impact right now. They think he's most ready on offense to be a difference-making player. And, oh, by the way, the Browns at 2, Giants at 3, they need him to be that type of player. They need him to be more impactful on offense. The other thing I was thinking about, and anybody can play along in this game, right? Let's say he could give you a bunch of snaps both sides of the ball and be very good at receiver and very good at corner. Would you rather have a guy that's very good at both or elite at one? You know, that might be what we're talking about here.
Mercedes-Benz guys, it's Dukes and Bell guys hanging out at the MyBox Suites, having a good old time, catching up with our man G Money, who's going to be on site tonight when Wes Trueham, Dave Archer, and I believe in his first live appearance since his wife did all the heavy lifting with his baby, Squid Billy, will be producing tonight.
Yeah, man.
Hanging out.
And Squid, I love you. I don't know why, but it's fine. Come on down.
I may have a child that's only a few days old, but my dedication to the Falcons, you know, is second to none.
Well, apparently he's going to be here. That's what we've been told. But honestly,
it's Falcons, then family, Carl.
God.
Well, actually, it's God, will.
Falcons,
then well. Okay, Falcons, then Earnhardt, then God, then yes, my child.
There we go. Apparently, though, we've been told that he's going to – and I'm happy. I hope to see him before we get out of here. But, Bo, if you are coming down and you're
listening
on your way –
Watching, judging right now in traffic, most likely.
But, man, listen, Ross Tucker, great stuff from him. We've been giving you all these different perspectives. We're going to continue to do that throughout the course of the show. We're going to continue to break down the Georgia players that could be drafted in this particular draft. Guys, it's not like a couple of years ago. They're not going to have the most guys drafted. No. I actually think that's going to be the University of Texas, to be honest with you. They may put the most players, when it's all said and done, in this draft. But all that doesn't matter. It's right. Really about where you go and can you have impact where you land. And Mike, the system that you get into. And for the Dogs, you know, we've talked about the defensive guys. But, guys, they got two really good offensive linemen. We talked with DJ Shockley about this. You're going to hear his thoughts coming up later in the show as well around 6 o'clock. Talking about Tate Ratledge, Mike, and Jared Wilson. Wilson may be the best center in this draft.
Yeah, it's funny, though. As we said, you know, if you're a Georgia fan, you're like, well, where the hell was this offensive line that's so highly ranked when Notre Dame was, like, in our backfield an entire game in the Sugar Bowl? But, this is one that I've asked the question the last few years, you know, since they've gone through, you know, from one of the best in the business in Sam Pittman to one of the other best in Matt Luke to Stacey Searles. Have you developed these guys? Because what we said about all the defensive players, I know a Kirby coach defender is ready to go in the NFL. I can't necessarily say that as much conviction about the offensive line, but to your point, they're still highly touted in this year's draft.
Yeah.
But Malachi Starks goes to three Dogs, certainly in the first round with Jalen and Michael.
No doubt. That, I think, absolutely happens. Carrie, who is an avid Falcons fan, she put out her draft day. This makes me laugh because Carrie is all about the Falcons, giving her a shout-out. But she says, look, let's just trade with Cincinnati, Mike. This is what we do.
Right.
And she says, pick 46 and 49 and 119. If you do that, obviously you're getting a first. You've got your 15, 49, 118, 119, and then you get to 218, 242. But basically now you're impacting your team a little bit better. And she goes edge, defensive line, D-line, corner. With her first four picks.
I love it.
I do, too.
And she's got to find a partner to do it with.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's easy to say, hey, let's just trade with Cincinnati. Well, hopefully Cincinnati can be there. But, Kerry, I love your outlook. This is what I think. I think we're going defense, defense, defense as well. I do.
Yeah, we talked about this, and I think Tori McElhaney did her mock draft at Falcons.com. And as we said, there's so many different websites with different variations and valuations. I tried to do the same mock with PFF. I couldn't get there.
You know, make it wouldn't
deal.
Allow you.
Wouldn't allow me to do it. Well, the team kept turning down the trade offer. So, look, I would love, you know.
AI was like, no way.
Negative. I will not accept your 2 7th rounders. So, yeah, it was just, you know, I look at the Falcons and say, yeah, could you get down to the Chargers or the Vikings and then do the things she's talking about? Where then, right now, guys, you've got the 15th, the 46th, and then the 118th. So you got three picks in the top 120. And that sucks in a draft where you're hearing all this stuff. In the top 60. So let's go get it, but you got to find someone to trade down to. Otherwise, it's a moot point. Then again, you get into, are you cool with leveraging your future picks? Are you cool with moving something from next year to get in back into the second round? I mean, if I'm Terry, certainly, because as we said, you look at the future of this Falcon team, you got to make the playoffs this year, bro.
You got to get
impact players right now or you're dead in the water, man.
Mike, this is the kind of stuff we're talking about, all right? This is a report right now. That or at least the rumor that's out there. And this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You cannot believe all of this stuff. Mm. There is somebody who's saying, I'm being told Terry is in love with Matthew Golden. You know what Matthew Golden is? He's a wide receiver.
Yeah, of course he is.
My sources don't think Terry would do it, but he is absolutely
in love.
So
then why do you say it? Who says this?
This is what I'm talking about.
I mean, it's like this guy's, like that jackleg we played up in Cleveland. I've got a pretty good source on this one. And I hear the Cowboys, they're going to take a $100 million dead cap in and trade us Dak Prescott.
Get ready.
You know what I mean? It's like,
I got a pretty darn good source.
Yeah, right.
The fact we found this guy spent like 2 years in federal prison for tax evasion was the cherry on top of that soundbite. But I mean, you hear this stuff where it's like, a certain former Georgia quarterback that one time put something out about an offensive coordinator stepping away. And then, you know, there were rumors. Yeah, you started them. You're creating nonsense. You have nothing to base this stuff on.
Zero. This is the best part of this. This is a tweet, all right? I'm not even going to give the guy credit because somebody sent this to me and like, Dukes, is this real? No. He goes, Terry really loves Matthew Golden, wide receiver, right? We don't need that. But he goes on to say, Mike, my sources also told me that Terry will likely play it safe with one of the edge rushers. Really?
Are you on a website? Who is your source? A greeter at Walmart?
But the hay's never in the barn.
Yeah, yes, I love these guys. I got a source. I mean, like, and the other thing is, everybody now has a camera, so I can go, you know, on my podcast, which your mom follows.
That's right.
I'm going to let you know what I think the Falcons are doing, thanks to my source. You know, I mean, it's just, God bless. There's so many ways to get your information.
But this is the problem,
though. It's disinformation. It's nonsense.
This is the issue.
Today there's a story which is getting legs because some idiot put stuff out there that we're going to move up to get Abdul Carter, and now that's getting traction. Hey, I love it. If you think that's the guy, let's rock and roll. But I mean, you're going to have to mortgage a big chunk of next year's draft class to do it.
Yes, you are.
And I'm not so sold on that because I don't really like the idea of a general manager mortgaging a future when that general manager might not be here next year.
Mm. We got more to get to. Dog reports on the way. How many dogs are actually going to go tonight? And how many dogs are going to go in this draft? We'll discuss. And Garrett continues to convince us that Mikel is the guy.
But.